And the first thing I want to share with you is I
just a second, George.
That?
Just a second.
We're all leaving.
They're all leaving.
Okay.
Let them go first.
Well, you're saying leave the room.
That was a meeting room. Barry was talking.
Barry and I are going to share with you a little bit about what's been going on. And the main thing, if you don't hear me say anything tonight, hear me say this. Thank you. Thank you. We've been friends with many of you in this room for 40 plus years. And we could not do what we have done, are doing, or will do without you.
Raise your hand. You can hear me? Okay. I want to say thank you. You guys have been wonderful, and you've been with us, many of you,
from the very first days of our marriage, and we're grateful. We're thankful in every way, and we really are. And I want to give thanks to you, what you've done for us as a body, and individual, and family. We're grateful.
How about now? Should I try a third time to start from the beginning? So I want to say thank you, Jesus. I just want to praise the Lord. I really do. I'm not just saying it to put words in. We're really grateful to God, and we give Him thanks. We give Him praise. We give Him honor. And if you hear me telling a story tonight and you go, oh, that sounds really fun or cool or wonderful or miraculous, yes. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, because you all have really been integral in helping to make that happen. And so I really mean that. And I'll say this. I was talking to Mary on the way over, and I said to someone else today on the phone, if I died tonight, say, thank you, God. It's been great. It's been wonderful. What God did yesterday in our team, I would just say, my life is fulfilled. It's been great. And so thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I don't know if any of you will remember this, but I need 5 volunteers. I've done this with you all once before about 25 years ago. But I want 5 of you to take an apple. And raise your hand if you'd like to have an apple for a while. Come on. All right, here, pass one down, please. Just take an apple, pass down. We got 2, come on. Thank you, pick an apple, any apple. Couple over here. You remember, okay. All right, so what I want you all to do is just hold on to your apple during the message, but study the apple, get to know it, maybe you rub it across your little cheek, inhale a little bit, you can even lick it a little bit, whatever you need to do, get to know your apple, and when we're done, we're going to put the apples back, mix them up, and then you're going to find your apple. And I've never had an audience fail at this, so don't break the curve, don't. And the idea is they all just look like red apples. And the people you see out there, they all look the same until you get to know them, you study them, and then you fall in love with them. And I've had people say, I don't want to give you my apple back. I want to keep my apple because it's become special to me. And that's, I think, what God wants to happen. So what we're doing tonight is we're going to share a little bit about what God has been doing in our lives and in our hearts and through our ministry. And we'll look for a little bit in the Word, but not very much, but some. And I want to start by telling you some miracle stories that you have been a part of, the CBF crowd has been a part of in years past. And our life is kind of, you know, you mark, veterans sometimes mark things before the war, during the war, after the war. And I'm not saying Portugal was a war, but our family, there was the years before we went to Portugal, there were the years we were involved in Portugal, and there's been the years after, and we kind of mark time like that. And one of the things that you all were involved in, you remember when we were in the old CBF building down in 32nd Taylor, we were going to Portugal, and so we sold all of our worldly goods, belongings, we piled them up in the parking lot there at CBF, the old CBF building, and we had a 2 or 3 day yard sale. All of our bedding and clothes and books and, you know, toys and bicycles and a car, everything was for sale. And somebody asked me, they said, George, how much money do you think you'll get from the sale? I said, I don't have any idea. They said, how much would you like to get? I said, it would be nice if we had enough to buy our plane tickets to go to Portugal. We didn't have money to fly to Portugal. So the day the sale was over, I think it was Saturday night, I sat on the floor, apartment is empty, sat on the floor and I counted the money. And I had the airline ticket bill in one hand. I knew what and I don't remember the exact number, but I had an exact number. This is how much money we need to the dollar. And it wasn't a round number, but I'll say $3,000, you know, take four people across the Atlantic. I counted the money from the sale. It's $3,000. And I was like, no, I counted. I'm bad at math, you know. I counted again. It's $3,000. I thought, well, you know, and I was like, if it was exact, that'd be a miracle. It wasn't a miracle. I counted again. I must have counted 5 or 6 times. And then I realized, and I started to cry. I said, this is a miracle. God has given us to the dollar the exact amount of money that we need to go. And it was a sign to me. It's like, my hand is on you guys. I want you to go. I've provided for you, and I've let you know that. So we go to Portugal. We go into language school, and I was very, you know, driven and focused. I'm going to learn this language. And this Australian missionary guy, he comes to me and he says, George, I want you to come with me to the prisons. And I said, no. He says, why not? I said, I'm not here to do prison ministry. And I said, I don't speak the language. I'm learning the language. I got to learn the language. He says, well, you can meet with the English-speaking prisoners. I go, there's English-speaking prisoners in the prison here? And he goes, yeah. I said, no, I'm not here to meet with those evangelized English-speaking prisoners. I'm here to learn Portuguese. And he just kept bugging me. So kind of like the woman in the Bible, you know, that just kept, I said, I will go with you once just to get you off my back. And when I walked into the prison, God doesn't speak to me, but he did that day. And he said, this is where you belong. Be here. And I said, okay. I said it out loud. I said, okay, I will. That day, first day, I don't speak the language. We just fresh off the boat. This prisoner gets saved. And God used him to share the gospel with every single person in that prison, including he would sit down across the desk from the warden and share the gospel with him. He would preach in the exercise yard to the guys and get a crowd. And all I did was go and visit him once a week and just do Bible study with him, talk to him. And I couldn't have done that because he was fluent and he was bilingual. And God used him that first, fresh off the boat. And it was like, wow, I couldn't. People, what strategy did you develop? It didn't have a strategy. It was against my will. And so God used you to help send us to Portugal. He used you to keep us there. Then when we finally did learn the language, we moved to the north of Portugal. We started a school that's still going. We started a radio program. We had two radio programs, actually. And thousands and thousands of people heard the gospel because of that. So we give thanks to God for that. And then you say, well, that was a long time ago. What have you done since then? Well, I would say the thing that's marked the ministry we've had over the years more than anything is we've worked with internationals. That's just kind of what we do. And if you said, George, how many internationals or how many countries or language groups have you worked with? I would say over 75, easily, probably over 100. And you say, that sounds very impressive and a lot. No, not really. I've been doing this for about 50 years now. And if you just do one or two a year, it's over 100. And it's constantly now. We share the gospel every week with people from almost every continent. And I've literally lost track. And so we give thanks to God. So we've been working with sharing the gospel with internationals from Portland. We did a church start downtown Portland some years ago. And we had 19 different languages represented in that little congregation. It was amazing. So, and thank you again, and thank you, Jesus, for that opportunity to do that. And in the last years, I would say, and you know this, America, Oregon, Portland has radically changed so much. It's easy to reach the nations from Portland now. It really is. And we still have freedom of religion and freedom of expression. For years, we had gospel ads in Willamette Week and the Portland Mercury, and we've done everything we can to reach as many secular people as we can. And after about, I don't know, at least 10 years of working with white, college-educated, liberal, secular, atheist people, I felt like my head was bloodied from it. No fruit, nothing happening to speak of. And one day I was just going through the Gospels and I got to that story where Jesus told the disciples, cast your net on the other side. And again, it was like a lightning bolt, like God spoke to those words to me. It's like, George, cast your net on the other side. And I stopped and I cried because it was a Holy Spirit moment. And I said, okay, message received. I know God is talking to me. Cast your net on the other side. And I said, God, through my tears, what does that mean? What do I do? What do I do? Nothing. 2 weeks later, he said, cast your net on the other side of 82nd. I went, yeah, that's it. So the next morning, I got up. I got on my bike. I rode to the other side of 82nd, went to a little coffee shop, sat down with a group of five or seven Asian men, didn't speak a word of English, just sat with them for an hour. God says, this is where you belong. I said, okay. So for the last about 6 years, we've been working on the other side of 82nd. And I don't know what people call it now, but it's the most ethnically and spiritually diverse place in the entire state. And the demographers know this. And Mary here knows this, will agree with me. It's been the last 6 years have been the best years of my life. Because on a regular consistent basis, we're sharing the gospel with people who've never heard before. And we haven't had a lot of fruit, like in terms of, you know, how many people have you baptized or put in the church pew? Not very many, some, but it's been a God thing. And just this month, we had a guy, he says, I need to come work with you. I need to learn what you guys do. I've been a Christian all my life, never shared my faith much, but I'm on my way to this foreign country to do gospel work, and I figure I should know how to do it here first. Okay, come work with us. So he comes with our team. I go out with him. I thought he did a good job presenting the gospel, like we do every week, you know, week in, week out, constantly, nothing happens. He goes to his country. He's gone 2 weeks. This guy who's never shared his faith before, and he shared it the way we share it here, been for doing it for years. Guess how many people he led to the Lord in 2 weeks? Over 300. And I'm like, what am I doing wrong, you know? But the point is, the soil here is rocky. The soil here is hard. And the enemy eats the seed here. He does. This is the least Christian place in America. All the latest surveys, statistics will tell you that over and over and over again. But, and it's hard that way. But the good news is the nations have come here and we can reach them. And let me move on. Look at your outline. It says miracle stories. I've told you a few miracle stories. Let me tell you about what's going on now. And the three, just in preview, the three big things we're doing is we have what we call a Jesus outreach team that goes out every week. And we're from a variety of churches in the metro area. And we come together and we share the Lord. And it's roughly the Lentz neighborhood. And it's been wonderful. It's just been fantastic. And then we work with Mien in Portland, who are reaching back to their people in Southeast Asia on a daily basis via Facebook Messenger. And hundreds are hearing the gospel. People are getting saved. They're being persecuted. And they're reaching out to their neighboring tribes. So those are the two main things we're doing in terms of ministry outside the local church. Let me tell you a couple of quick stories about what God is using our team to do in sharing the gospel here. And this is these are typical stories. This isn't, I'm telling you the most fancy story. No, these are normal. This happens regularly. I'm with a brother, Aaron, who's he's an Asian guy. We go to this house, and this man comes to the door, and he's my age, and he doesn't speak a word of English. And we're trying to figure out, I think they're Chinese. He brings his grandson to the door, multi-generational Asian home. Grandson comes. We get to talking to him. Tell me about yourself. He says, well, I'm a junior at Oregon State studying engineering. It's like, oh, how's that going? Oh, good, well, what's your family's spiritual background? He says, what do you mean? I said, well, you practice a faith or anything? He goes, no. Let us share the Christian message with you. He goes, sure, yeah, whatever. He was totally a non-defense. He wasn't like the typical liberal college-educated white Portlander who would have, been angry. He was like, yeah, sure, tell me yours. We shared the gospel with him. My friend Aaron, he did the creation to the cross thing with him. Took him from Adam to the cross. And then I shared the gospel with him from a different perspective. And then we kind of reviewed it together. So this guy had heard the gospel 3 times in 10 minutes. And he's standing there. He's 20, 21, And when we were done, I said, do you have any Christian friends? He said, no. Do you know any Christians at the university? No. You ever been in a church or anything like that? No. You guys have a Bible in the house? No. Has anyone ever shared this story about Jesus with you? No. Junior, Oregon State. Lived here his entire life. Steps from 6 different churches. And I'm here to say, as a Christian, 2 Christians, that's not okay. That's not okay. You say, well, that's in the international community. That's a different category. He's in a Chinese household where they speak Chinese in the home, and they don't have a religious background. It was Buddhist, Confucius, whatever. But the average person has heard. Let me tell you, this is real recently. I was with a woman in our team, went to this guy's house. He had a Santa Cruz bumper sticker on his car or something. And I said, hey, are you from Santa Cruz? He goes, yeah. I said, I know Santa Cruz. I used to have friends there. And I said, you don't surf, do you? And he goes, yeah, I surf. I said, have you ever surfed steamers or this place, Pleasure Point? He goes, yeah, I've surfed all those places. So we talked surf, for a while, and he figured out we weren't freaks, and we talked about things. And I said, well, you grew up in Santa Cruz. What was your spiritual background? How were you raised with a particular religion? And he goes, my parents were kind of like new age hippies. And I said, I knew that. You told me you were raised in Santa Cruz. So, sorry, I love Santa Cruz. No offense. And he goes, no, they just were just kind of, hippy dippy, the universe. But that was it. There was no instruction, no. And this guy's about 40, graduated from the University of California. I said, well, let me share the Christian message with you. So again, gave him the most basic, introductory, simple Christian message. And he listens, and he's just kind of, And when I was done, I said, anyone ever shared this with you before? And he said, no. West Coast, white guy, college educated, works in Portland, lives here. No Christian friends, never been in a church his entire life. No, You have a Bible in the house. You ever read the Bible? No. Gave him a New Testament. Shared the gospel with him. He's never heard it. It's not okay. And though the numbers of that demographic are on the rise, it was as recent as today. It's in the newspaper today. It's in the Oregonian. It's in the national news. Everybody knows this is an issue. So what our team does is we go out and we just talk to these people. We chat them up and we say, hi, how you doing? Good to meet you. We're your neighbors. What's your spiritual background? Let them tell you their faith, non-faith, anti-faith, whatever it is. And then you start sharing the gospel, and we share the gospel, and we've done it with thousands of people. And you say, that sounds impressive. How do you do it? Well, you do one little team of two. Jesus sent us out two by two. One little team of two shares with 10, 20, 25 a week, and there's two or three teams. Well, you're sharing 50 a week, and you do the math, 50 weeks in a year, you multiply by a few years, thousands of people. And of those thousands, hundreds have never had a Christian talk to them about Jesus before. The fields are white unto harvest. So that's what we're doing here. We have these Jesus outreach teams that go out. And in the providence of God, these teams are multiplying. We have some in people in Vancouver trying to do this, up in Longview, McMinnville, Woodburn. We were at a church in Troutdale that wants to do this. We're talking to a church in Lake Oswego that wants to do this. And all we do is we just go out and talk to our neighbors about Jesus. It's great. But in addition to that, we're working with the Mien. And the Mien are not Chinese, but they're Chinese in the Chinese family. Their language is separate from Chinese. The Chinese don't accept them as Chinese, but they're related. They're second cousins, kind of culturally, linguistically, ethnically. And the gospel is beginning to spread, but it's an animistic culture. They're a pre-literate culture. They don't have running water and plumbing and all these things. They live in the hills, subsistence farmers. But the gospel is spreading. But when the gospel comes into a village, it receives immediate and severe physical persecution. And I think I've told you in other times that we have people in our circle of ministry who've been beaten for their faith. I don't mean just slapped about. I mean in the hospital for days. People really injured, physically injured terribly. We had one sister who was murdered by her husband. She was martyred for the faith. Her husband said, you've fallen in love with another man, this Jesus fellow. And he butchered her with a machete. Another woman, her husband died, and we hear in Portland how misogynistic we Christians are, aren't we? We're terrible misogynists. We just hate women and do terrible things. Well, they said, now that your husband's gone and you're a Christian, you don't have any land to farm anymore. And her family took her land. And this is happening all the time. And so I don't want to take any credit for what the Mien are doing. I preach for them online through a translator, and I encourage them, and I pastor the team. But they're doing the heavy lifting, and they're doing the daily discipleship, and they're doing a wonderful job. They're men who've lived in Portland for a long time. They have a high school diploma. They didn't go to Multnomah. They didn't go to seminary. And God is using them to do a people group movement in Vietnam. So you and I have no excuses. All the knowledge and input and learning that we have access to, we have no excuses to not share. And God is using the Mien in Vietnam to share with the Hmong people. And then through them, we've contacted an unreached people group called the Kimoo, K-I-M-O-O people. Never heard the gospel ever, no known believers. And we're trying to do what we can to resource the Christians that live in the hills of North Vietnam to go to the Kimoo people and to introduce the gospel for the first time. So again, I want to say thank you, Jesus, because it wasn't because we're so brilliant and we figured, it's organic, it's happening naturally. But in terms of Mary's and my input and involvement in this, it wouldn't be happening if you guys weren't behind us. It just wouldn't. So thank you for that. And now we have connected. We need a connection. All these years that we've been doing, working with internationals, I've never had a salary. Never had a salary. Always just whatever comes in. And we've needed a mission agency to help us channel funding for ministry and to channel and resource the Mien work as well. So Mary will talk about that in just a minute. And probably now is a good time to bring you up, Mary. So if you're okay coming up, did I scare you? Mary will share just a bit about what we're doing with Global Outreach International.
Well, we got to go to you. There was a little story that I'm going to tell. That story is that we were planning to go to the training. It was called Mission. What does MOT stand for? Anyways, training school. And we thought, okay, we'd been praying about it, and we really felt like God was directing us to go. And then we realized, oh, we had to pay $2,000 to get there. And so we felt like God wanted us to do it, and we prayed. And then it was very interesting. Right after we sent the money in, we signed up to go. Were you going to tell the story? You had the opportunity to tell the story, and you didn't, so it's my way. We have been married 45 years this year, so, you know, that's how it goes. But so whether we sent the money in or not, God gave us the money the next day. We got this random check from a friend that sent us $2,000, and we were just like, unbelievable. So it was very confirming that that's what God wanted us to do. So we went. It was exciting. We're older. We've been doing this a long time. And we've been praying about it and asking God, is this really what you want us to do? And we feel like God has just been pushing us, directing us. These different confirmations of us to keep going and moving forward in this. And sometimes we got to participate in the training with lots of young people. Well, it was a small group, but younger people, and it was exciting. It was really exciting to have be around other missionaries and see what God is doing. Now can you hear me? Okay, sorry. That other stuff I was saying didn't really matter, I guess. So God's doing a lot in our life. It's humbling. We're trusting him. We're, you know, it's crazy. Since we've come back, God has given George and I an opportunity to go to a couple different churches, and he's thrown us some curveballs, and I've just felt like, you know, we get excited about something and think, oh, maybe this is going to happen, that's going to happen, and then this curveball happens, and it's a cool thing, but it's not what I thought was going to happen. So it's just submitting to him and just going, okay, you're the boss, you've got the plan, you know it better than we do. And so we've got some neat opportunities, but not exactly what I thought. So sorry, I'm tearful, but I just feel like God is good. We're holding on to him. We're trusting him. We're thankful for the opportunities that he's given us. And it's kind of like, okay, you're the boss, God. It's not exactly what I thought, but that's the way you want. And so we're grateful for Global. I really loved the home office staff. Our first meeting with them was all focused on prayer, and I have a real heart for prayer. And so it was exciting that their first couple, you know, sessions were all about prayer. And that just, you know, touched my heart that they really believe in that. And also, several of the home staff have been missionaries, and so I just felt like we had a kindred spirit with them. They're young, not too young, but younger than us, and so we have a lot to learn as well, a lot in technology, you know, oh my goodness. But yeah, so we're being challenged, and I don't know. I think that's about all I have to say. Thank you.
So in the next couple minutes, we've talked enough about us, and just to review, we give thanks to God for you. We give thanks directly to God for his goodness. We're grateful for the way he's directed us to work with internationals and how he's miraculously directed us and provided and given us signs of his blessing. It's all good. And we're grateful for what he's doing in Portland now and what our teams are doing. We hope to grow and expand those. And we're thankful to God, and we're thankful for the connection we have with the Mien and what God is using them to do. And what I want to do in just the very short time to direct your attention to the Word, and in your outline, there's this funny little quiz, and I won't take you through the whole quiz, but I'll read you the scripture that it's based on. The scripture is Luke 10, and it says this in chapter 10, verse 1, "After this, the Lord Jesus appointed 72 others, and Jesus sent them ahead of him in pairs to every town." I read it again. "To every town, to every place, to every place." What? How many towns? Every town, every place. "Where he himself was about to go, and he told them, 'The harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field.'" And then look over at chapter 10 and verse 17. It said, "The 72 returned to Jesus with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing at all will harm you. However, don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.'" So this little quiz that's on your outline, and there's a copy of it in the back if you pick up one of some of the literature we put in the back, and sign up back there. There's a sign-up list for our email list if you're not on our email mailing list. Pick up the literature back there and take the quiz. And everybody, if you're a Christian and you just heard me read that passage, every question in the quiz you have to say yes. You have to, because you're a Christian. But here's the last four questions that on the quiz that we don't all agree to. Did God send Jesus? Yes. Did Jesus leave glory for us? Yes. Did he send out the 12? Yes. Did he send the 70? Yes. Everyone agrees. Does Jesus send us now? And a lot of us say no. Does he send us in the same way? No. Is Jesus' model in Luke 10 for us now? No. Can I follow the Lord Jesus, our King's model? And most of us say no. And our team isn't doing anything fancy. We're just following this Luke 10 model, and it's working. So I encourage you to read Luke 10 and take the quiz. And turn your outline over. And another thing that I feel like it's not a special message, it's not an insight, it's not technical, it's not smart, it's just something that the American church, the Western church, I believe in large part has forgotten, is if you have a truck or a car with four wheels, but they're not wheels, they're triangles. So what we do in the American church is we come together, we hear the word, we worship, we fellowship, and we go home. But the Bible gives us five things to do, and we're supposed to be serving one another. And I'm not preaching this to our church. I think we do a good job mostly in these areas. But God wants us to serve each other outside of this body, and he wants us to serve in our communities, and then he sends us out. And all we're doing is saying, hey, we're that team in the church that goes out and tries to share the gospel. And you say, well, where is that in the Bible? Well, it's all through the Bible, it's all through the New Testament, but I did a study, and I won't take you through the study, in the book of 1 Thessalonians, because we've been studying 1 Thessalonians. I've been studying 1 Thessalonians. So if you look at those verses on the back of your outline, I've got here 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 at least references. And just in 1 Thessalonians, you can see each of these five areas over and over and over, four, five, six times each, that Paul taught them, Paul modeled to them, and that they modeled back to Paul, and he commends them and says, you guys are getting it. You're doing this. So this isn't a strange teaching, a new teaching, a cultic teaching, a bizarre. It's just first church. You know, Thessalonians were one of the first churches Paul planted. This is what the first church was doing, and what we should look at them and go, hey, we can do that too. And so I want to encourage you to memorize the five functions of the church and then to seek to balance them in your life and engage on a daily basis as a Christian in worship and in relationship with other believers and pre-believers, to have daily engagement with the scripture, to be daily seeking to be compassionate towards other believers and to non-believers, and to routinely, systematically proclaim the gospel both locally and globally. It's that simple, and that's all we're trying to do. That's our special sauce, our great formula. It runs throughout the gospels, it runs throughout the New Testament, and it's specifically outlined for us in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Now, I'm really quitting here. But look at that last box. Why do we do all this? Well, in 1 Thessalonians, I listened to Mark's sermon on chapter 4 the other day. Did a great job. And that's the rapture passage, right? People say, well, if you want to know about the rapture, go to 1 Thessalonians 4. And I say, no, you go to 1 Thessalonians 1, and you go to 1 Thessalonians 2, and you go to 1 Thessalonians 3, and you go to 1 Thessalonians 4, and then you wrap it up in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Every single chapter of the book says Jesus is coming at any time soon. Be ready. Get out there and do your thing. Because Jesus is coming soon. So we do this because Jesus is coming soon. So let me pray with us, for us, and then we'll collect our apples, okay? Jesus, we thank you. We do. We thank you for our church family. We thank you for the body. Thank you for you shed your God, the Father sent you and you shed your blood for us, and you went to every town and village and declared your kingdom, your kingship. We submit to you, Jesus, as King, and we believe now you have, just as you sent the 12 and you sent the 72, we believe now you have sent all of us into all the world to proclaim your truth, your gospel, your good news. So God, work in each heart as needed, convict, direct, so that we wake up every day and say, who can I share Jesus with today? How can I do this? Thank you for your example to us. Thank you for your provision for us. And God, we trust you in the present. We trust you for the future. And I do. I just ask your blessing on these, your people. Lord Jesus, thank you. Amen. Now,